The Rights to Ricky Sanchez podcast is presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Sign up for DraftKings Sportsbook by using promo code RTRS and brought to you by Briggs Auction, the official auction of the Ricky, BriggsAuction.com. Big Barker Therapeutic Dog Beds. Get yours at BigBarker.com/Ricky. And Surfside Iced Tea and Vodka from Stateside, the official sponsor of the Corner 3 newsletter with Zoe. Subscribe at RightsToRickySanchez.com/newsletter. You're writing tomorrow, aren't you? You're supposed to be.
Yes.
All right.
More draft prospects. Guys to watch.
Tournament guys to watch. On the show today, man, James Harden comes back to Philadelphia. Sixers almost win it if it wasn't for those lousy refs. Plus, we're going to have to ban some people, I think. Also, James Harden has a new shoe named after Michael Rubin. Maybe. Yes. There's a new JJ and LeBron podcast. And man, we just got so much other stuff. Somebody wants you to talk about Zach Edey. Is that his name?
Mm-hmm.
Zach Edey. Also a toilet question in the mailbag. Man, I'd love to be able to get to all this. All right. Before we get going, Surfside Iced Tea and Vodka. Baseball, Phillies, opening day, 48 hours away at Citizens Bank Park, or less than 48 hours away. When you watch that game, you see crowd shots. You know you're going to see in the crowd? Surfside Iced Tea and Vodka. Everyone who's over 21 is going to have one. Anyone who's anyone drinks Surfside Iced Tea and Vodka. Why, do you ask? Well, it's the fucking best. The best of the bunch. It is no carbonation because iced tea does not have bubbles. It is lightly sweet. It is only 100 calories. It has a cool can. It tastes great. It comes in all different varieties. Peach tea and vodka, iced tea, lemonade and vodka. Go to statesidevodka.com. You got to be 21. The Say the Name shirt, the new one we did, this one that I'm wearing right now that has Latin Say the Name on it, which is Desir Nomen. Nomen. There you go. And it has, we put all the...
You guys know how much we talk about Latin on this podcast.
Yeah. Well, that was Tanner's idea. Shout out Tanner. And it's got all the names on the back, except for, what's his name? DJ...
Wilson.
DJ Wilson, who this shirt was made before. So that'll be for the next shirt. But anyway, we're only selling them through Sunday, then they're gone forever. So if you want to get one, we'll put a link in the description. Also, if you're watching live, CJ, if you could, please put a link in the chat from our friends at Scheib Vintage Sports. And happy birthday, Oliver, who is 27 years old. Is with the endless flow of girlfriends who want us to wish their boyfriends a happy birthday because they listen to the podcast incessantly. Oliver, you are on the list. Happy birthday from Lauren, your friends, your family, and of course, from the Ricky. Without any further ado, Amos and the Chef.
Larry, sweetie, the man is here.
Say the name. I say the name. I say the name.
We will write y'all.
Welcome to the Rights to Ricky Sanchez podcast. I'm Spike Eskin, along with a guy with a fresh haircut, looking fly. That is one Mike Levin.
Should have been two Clippers wins in 4 days.
Would have been great. I wanted this one pretty bad, man. Wanted this one pretty bad, especially when they came out, took a lead. I was like, yeah, you know what? They're going to have to win this game.
Yeah.
And this is not my thing. I feel like I've done it twice. Fucking ref should have called a foul on one of those final two drives from Oubre.
Ref guy.
Yeah. One of the two, I think, deserved a foul call, specifically the Kawhi one. But I guess if they're being consistent, they're just not calling stuff as much anymore. But I wanted a foul on one of those two calls. And I also want to know why Kyle Lowry wasn't playing for the last 5 minutes of the game.
It's the replay rules just seem so like...
It's just like sort of arbitrary.
Particularly arbitrary.
Yeah. Well, I hate replay in every sport. I don't think there should be any replay in any sport. my position, but it does seem like, what are we doing?
It just seemed like they couldn't review the Kawhi block on Oubre, because it's like, well, the stoppage happened when the ball went into the rim and wedged in.
Right.
And so we cannot review the thing that happened right 0.03 milliseconds before. That's unreviewable.
Yeah.
It's unreviewable, Spike. Spike, how can you think we can review it? Who knows what would have happened in those 0.03 seconds? We're dead. I mean, it's just like I'm not a soccer guy at all, but it seems like in soccer, they're like, yeah, it's like, this is about as much time. Give it a second and we'll go look at it. Yeah. It just seems insane that they go like, no, the stoppage happened precisely at the second and nothing that could have happened before that minuscule second could be reviewed. And it's just like, it's bullshit, dude. It's all fake.
Well,
if you think that there's, you should be allowed to review it if it's close enough.
Well, I think that's my problem with with replay in general, is that it should never end. Like if the goal is to get everything right, then you should look at everything in replay. Like that's my issue with it I don't know where to draw the line on anything.
Well, the line is that you have two timeouts or two tries at it. One if you get it right, and then another one regular and one if you get it right. So to me, you should be able to review anything regardless of whether there was a foul or a stoppage or wasn't. Like you should be able to like stop the game at the next stoppage and go like that thing, I'm reviewing that thing. If you're giving everyone a replay, it shouldn't be like only if there was one whistle at this very moment and then the game ending and going like, we can't look at that because the game has ended. It's just, and there was no call on it. It's like, well, that's the whole game. It just seems very incredibly arbitrary. And it's like, look, if you're limiting challenges, fine, but you should be able to challenge what the fuck ever. It seems insane that there wasn't an ability to challenge either of those two plays because there wasn't a whistle blown for that very thing. And so it's just a bummer. And that wasn't enough to overturn the Oubre out of bounds thing that Paul George knocked it out.
I don't think that should have been overturned.
It's just ridiculous. So it just feels very arbitrary. And in a coin flip game, everything went to the Clippers in the end there. And that stuff. But we could talk about other stuff that shouldn't have gotten to that point. But I like how mad Nick Nurse got.
So in the chat, CJ, could you put this up on the screen? Apparently, Kelly Oubre called every ref a bitch. So you're a bitch, you're a bitch, and you're a bitch. Okay, your mom's a bitch, your dad's a bitch, your grandma's a bitch is what the Liberty
I love it.
He is doing it.
I would 100%.
You're a bitch, and you're a bitch. He is.
And the refs are like, yeah, I go. You say that again, I bet.
That's so great. All right, I'm a Kelly Oubre guy. I am a Kelly Oubre guy now.
I would act on the court. I would embarrass myself. I would have so little respect. People are saying like, have some respect for the game. I wouldn't. I would be making a lot of people mad. There'd be like friggin' Fox News segments about how inappropriate I am to the refs.
Oh my God.
I would really debase myself in pretty unfortunate ways.
So weird game, I think.
Tough one. Yeah. Should have won it. Shouldn't have gotten to that point. Would be nice if they could inbound the ball and we wouldn't have gotten to this point. Maxi falling down, tripping on the inbounds late and giving up a wide open fast break that Oubre did make a nice play on to at least force foul shots. And then Coffey went 1 of 2 from the line, which felt like, man, that's the kind of hustle winning play that swings a game just by them only getting one there. But then he fouls later on a Kawhi drive. He didn't foul that much. It could have been a no call. He didn't swing down and hit him. Like there's just like a little body as he goes over there. Like I think that would have been fine to not call. So that's tough. And then, yeah, as much as I do love Oubre driving, I wouldn't have drawn up the play for
Oubre
to drive on Kawhi at the end of the game, the game on the line. And then the last play, he's got to get a shot up.
Yeah.
He's got to get a floater, a pull up, a three off the catch from Buddy. Like, you can't not get a shot off. The fact that we won the tip somehow, Batum makes a nice play out of it to get to Buddy. The ball gets back to Oubre, open space in front of him.
Just shoot a floater.
Shot on the rim. Anything. And that's obviously a crazy play you can't think for, but it would be nice if he had a little bit more heads up to be like, they're probably not going to call this shit. Even if that foul happened, it would have happened with like 0.2 on the clock. It would have been really, really tight. Get a shot up. I want a shot up in that situation.
I did just bring it up. it seemed like they only had one guy on the court who could dribble for the last 6 minutes of the game, especially when they're like, we had talked about a couple of pods ago, how when they double team Maxey, it's so much nicer to have Lowry on the court for two reasons. One, he can dribble. Two, he can make reasonably quick decisions with the ball. And, you know, something you talk about a lot, but like Hield and Tobias take so long to decide to do anything. Like if Hield isn't shooting a wide open three, I'm sure he will make a mistake. I don't know why Lowry wasn't playing at the end of the game.
Yeah, it might have been a minutes thing.
Yeah.
He played 22. He was pretty good. Hit a couple threes, moved the ball well. Then played good defense on Paul George, I thought. Obviously hit another lob to Mo Bamba. Automatic. It's unbelievable the chemistry those two have. For a guy that has no chemistry with anybody else, Bamba sure does love playing with Lowry.
And he catches him almost every time.
Every time. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
The thing that it felt like late and maybe was part of why Maxey tripped. Maybe it was over his own feet, maybe a little bit from behind. Do you know how many minutes Maxey played in this game?
Oh, 45?
Yeah, 44.
Oh, there you go.
And it's like,
that's how many he played in our game, in the Fly the Process game, I believe.
Dude, you can't play him that many minutes. Like not only because it's like it risks other injury stuff, obviously, but like then at the end of the game when you really need him to make a play. He's got so little energy. He's running around the court. Like he's defending hard. I thought he had a couple nice box outs in this game. Like that's a Kyle Lowry influence. Like I know he's young. Everyone's going to say he's young. He's fine. But like, that's playing really hard. That like 3 percentage points that you go down when you're that tired after playing that many minutes in this game. It's just tough. And you got to find a way. Campaign has been good enough during the season with the Sixers that Maxey does not need to play 44 minutes in this game. They were up at moments in this game where you could have stole 2 or 3 more minutes for Maxey so that he didn't have to play so many straight at the end. And I just, that's just what Nick Nurse defaults to. And it's only going to get more extreme as we get to the playoffs. And I think that is a flaw of his.
I'm not particularly worried about Maxey playing minutes.
But there was time. There were times in this game that he couldn't shake free. They had to take a timeout when he couldn't shake free at one point. They called the last play for Oubre because Maxey didn't have anything left in his legs. He trips on the inbounds. By the way, if Tobias did that on the inbounds, I don't think he would have been able to leave the building.
No, that would have been it for Tobias. Yeah, they would have had to dig a hole at the bottom of the Wells Fargo Center. Yeah.
But the inbounds, this team has just had too many inbounds mistakes. I thought that inbounds pass from Batum to Oubre, obviously Oubre's got to squeeze that and notice that Paul George is coming and just bring it down and make sure he gets it and don't be cute about it. But that pass from Batum didn't have to be that lackadaisical. Like this stuff matters. The smart players in this team can't be making those mistakes and they lose the game. Obviously the refs and the challenges were annoying and I think regrettable. And I support Nick Nurse and Kelly Oubre losing their minds over it at the end there, but you just can't. You got to clean up the easy stuff. And some of that easy stuff could be cleaned up if you just like didn't ground Maxey's knees into dust by playing him so much. He had a great game. He's awesome. I love him.
How about he just plays 3 games a year. He plays 20 minutes in each game. All the good players. And then so they're fresh for the playoffs.
But come on, man. 44 minutes. No, there's a reason why people don't play 44 minutes. But he was damaged in this game. They lost this game because Maxey was too tired to get free.
Right. But if he hadn't, I think that the calculus, you're not.
No, of course. Like he matters in those other minutes. I'm not saying those minutes don't matter.
Maybe they're not even in that situation if he doesn't play those minutes.
You got to find a way to survive them so that he can be around at the end when you go like there's nobody else that can get free. So we don't have to go, okay, Kelly Oubre, who I love, who is great, who got to the rim a ton, and he made some mistakes. It's understood. It's fine. But he was 6-17 for the game. He wasn't like dominating in this one. Your best player needs to have the ball in his hands. And it seemed like he was just too tired to do anything with it. And that matters. That matters not just in the future of like how much tread you're putting on those tires, but it matters in this game when you couldn't break free. He was turning the corner over and over and over again in the first half, no matter who it was. Obviously, it was very fun for it when he did it to Harden, but he's turning the corner on man. He's turning the corner on Kawhi. They're sending double teams out and they're getting the ball out of his hands. He had a really nice scoop floater at the end of the first quarter to beat the buzzer. He's been using his hesitation more. I thought he was in total control. And at a certain point, honestly, he just plays too many minutes and that edge that he has over those players goes away. and he's got it. And the team has, obviously, Embiid's hurt, Melton's hurt, all this stuff. Maxey has elite turn the corner speed in this game. And when you play him too many minutes, that advantage goes away. And that's on Nick Nurse. He's got to find a better way to survive more than 4 minutes in a game
Say that like they stink.
but they were playing pretty well. There were guys
in part because Maxey's on the floor.
Absolutely. Look, I know the importance of Maxey, but nobody plays 44 minutes a night. Nobody in the league plays 44 minutes a night.
But sometimes people play 44 minutes sometimes.
And I think in the regular season, that should not be the case. In a regular season regulation game, that should not be the case. In a first game back after a tough road trip on the West Coast. I just think Nick Nurse needs to trust players more. There's no reason for Cam. Campaign's been great. You were sitting next to me at the Clippers game talking about how every shot you think Campaign takes is going to go in.
Yes, but the truth about Campaign is that one game out of every three games is like that.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying Cam should be playing 35 minutes, but he's got to be in a game when Lowry's on a minutes restriction, a bunch of guys aren't there. I just think it's inexcusable. I think that, and that's partly why they lost the game. The other reason why they lost the game, I think, that on Nick Nurse is that I just don't like when they go small for other people to go small. If you want to go small because you think that you're better prepared, like if you think KJ Martin or something, who didn't play at all tonight, is a better option with, like, you know, Batum and those guys to switch and get loose balls and stuff, then you're being the active one to do that. I'm fine with that. But don't just go small because they went small. And it seemed like Nurse allowed Ty Lue to dictate the tempo of this game. And in the second half, no B-Ball Paul, who played well, no Mo Bamba, who played pretty well.
Yeah, I thought they both played pretty well, actually.
To take those guys out and go like, okay, Tobias now has to help over because there's nobody back there. So he has to help low. And then the ball gets swung to the opposite corner and it's Tobias having to crow hop his slow ass back to the corner to contest a shot. They just got so much good offense out of that. And Tobias played 38 minutes and he wasn't good. He had a couple shots, sure.
No, he stunk.
But he wasn't good.
Yeah.
He wasn't good. There are so many times when the ball just like whizzes past his head on defense because he is not quick enough to see it. He's not quick enough to adjust his body, to move his body to see it. And there were like loose balls he didn't get. He missed a three short one time in the first quarter and he ran back on defense when the offensive rebound bounced right where he was standing. Like if he had a better sense, he would know that's going to be short and it's going to go right here. There's a heady play there to be made. And he just doesn't seem to make it because he's not quick enough. Batum makes that play all the time. Kyle Lowry makes that play all the time.
Yeah, but that's why I keep asking why Kyle Lowry wasn't on the court. Because
I don't disagree.
I think they had too many guys. Having Tobias and Hield on the court at the same time, like you're really, there's no way the ball's going to get passed more than twice, I think, possession.
I can't imagine, for that last jump ball, I cannot imagine a player in the league, in any league, I would want on the court less than Tobias Harris. Like the idea that he was going to come up with a contested ball or be the first to insane. What is this commitment you have? Put KJ Martin in there. Put Ricky Council in there for a jump ball. Anybody. Put fucking B-Ball Paul in there for sure. Like the idea that Tobias was in there just because it's like, well, he's Tobias. I see the starting lineup on the corner there and he's written in there in Sharpie. So we got to put him in. It's this automatic. Tobias played 38 minutes and he wasn't good enough. He turns the corner. He always turns the corner going left. The beginning of this season, when I was complimenting Tobias, he would get all the way to the rim when he turned the corner going left. He would get all the way to the rim and he would finish really nicely. It wasn't as much of a dunk as I would like it to be, but it was getting higher off the glass and finishing around a big. And lately, the last couple months, he gets bodied out of that drive and has to force a no contact pull up. Because he's not good at getting fouled. He doesn't think about it. It's not natural to him. And he did that a couple times tonight and missed. And it's just like part of the reason why, you know, Tobias, you're 6'8", 38 minutes, two foul shots in this game. There's no reason why he was in that late. I would have taken almost anybody else.
The Rights to Ricky Sanchez podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. I'm looking at disrespect in the DraftKings Sportsbook app right now, Mike. Do you know, opening day, Phillies at Citizens Bank Park with, debatably, the best pitcher in baseball on the mound in Zach Wheeler are underdogs to the Atlanta Braves on opening day? disrespectful.
I would love for the Braves to not get out to like a 15-game lead by
then. Yes, that would be nice.
Feels like it's just like they're just granted it. There you go, 15-game lead. There you are.
Yeah, they're like a wild favorite for the division too. I think they're like minus 400, I think, for the division. Let me look. Well, I can't find it. I can't even believe that the Phillies are underdogs in opening day at home with Wheeler going. They love it. Let's see. Hold on. Player totals, awards, team futures. There we go. Division winner. Braves are minus 240. Phillies are plus 310. That's it. That's at the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Well, baseball. I don't really do much baseball betting. Do you? Futures maybe, but not per game. Your bet on a baseball game?
Too random to do a regular game.
Anyway, NBA in full swing, as you can tell. DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Right now, if you're a new customer, use promo code RTRS. Bet $5 and get $150 instantly in bonus bets. Instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use code RTRS. New customers bet $5, get $150 instantly in bonus bets. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code RTRS. The crown is yours. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Got to be 21. See show notes for details. I did like, similar to the Clippers game that they won on the road, I did enjoy, they got out to a big lead. The Clippers battled back and took a lead, and the Sixers did not crumble like they did. Now, they eventually won the one in LA, and they didn't win the one here. But I do think of late, well, I don't know, maybe not every game.
Yeah.
But the two we don't need to talk about. But it as if the Phoenix and Sacramento games didn't happen. But
don't acknowledge it.
I felt like these two games, I don't know if it says more about the Clippers than it does the Sixers, but I did enjoy that they grinded through it and kept in it until the end.
No, I think there's a lot to be. Look, I'm absolutely a moral victory guy.
Yeah.
To my core. I do think that it was good to see, you know, Bamba play as well as he did. We have to say, attack a closeout and took a floater as a 7'4" player that he then airballed. I think if B-ball Paul gets pulled whenever Nick Nurse, you know, he looks at Nick Nurse funny, then I think Mo Bamba should be sent to a you know, summer camp somewhere for a while after missing that floater by as much as he did. I thought he had a bunch of offensive rebounds and putbacks. That's how he got most of his points. He had one where he was like actually physical with it. And I thought that was nice. A little muscled himself into a layup. That doesn't happen very often. He usually gets out muscled all over the place. He had a big block on a Paul George dunk attempt at the rim. I thought he was good. I thought it was a good Mo Bamba game and a good B-ball game. I thought played really under control around the rim on offense. He finished a couple times really nicely. Got fouled. They sent no help on a Harden step back that B-ball was on him for, and I was like, great. Don't send help on that. You do not.
I think actually B-ball defended him pretty well twice, one-on-one, absolutely, if I remember correctly. Yeah,
absolutely. And it's just like, there's like all you can do. You're not going to block the shot probably. So you just make it hard on him. Make him change the arc. Stay with him. He's not that fast anymore. You're good. And he had a good D on it. He missed. The frustrating thing is when the rules are enforced for Nick Nurse, because B-ball Paul blocks Paul George from behind. I think it was off an inbounds, or there was an inbound right after. I don't remember. He blocked it out of bounds. And Nick Nurse immediately, one possession into the set, because there was a timeout beforehand, he pulls B-ball Paul from the game. One possession after a timeout. That on a possession that B-ball makes a play on. So maybe he wasn't in the right position. Maybe he should have been there before. Whatever. But he makes a play. The next play, when Mo Bamba comes in for B-ball Paul, Mo Bamba moving screen. And it's like, why are the rules enforced for B-ball, but and they're not for Mo Bamba? Why Mo Bamba gets a fucking floater, misses by 6 feet? Keep doing it, Mo. You're doing great.
I don't
and
know
he did
how
play
much
well tonight. He did play well, but it just feels like B-ball gets penalized for so much more than anybody else on the team. And it's and certainly than Tobias.
I don't know.
Frustrating because he's a helpful player on this team, and Nick just doesn't let him do it. He shouldn't play more than 20 minutes a game when Embiid's back, obviously. But like, Nick is hurting the team because of this grudge he has against.
No, it's not a grudge. I can't take this anymore for you and AU.
It is.
It's two straight coaches that are completely different who are handling him the exact same way because you have to handle.
Coach brain.
What's that? No, you have
to
handle.
I'm sure Obama stands in the right place.
Well, but
he doesn't.
You have
do
to handle different
it.
Players differently, and clearly, this is the way that you have to manage Paul Reed. Like it's just. It seems clear to me that the only thing that he listens to, that the only way he's like a fucking, like they have like a shock collar on him or something. Like that's the bench. I think it's Nick Nurse and Doc Rivers are way different guys.
No, of course. But I think there is a coaching kind of thing. And there's a coaching kind of thing where they just want you to do what they say.
That's,
they want
that's
you to do exactly
job.
What they say. But B-ball Paul make shit happen in broken plays,
but he
that
also
Bobamba
does,
cannot do
for sure. But he also does a lot of dumb shit.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. He is a particular guy. He should not be a starter on this team. He should not be playing a ton of minutes. If you want to go small and throw KJ Martin on there sometimes, I'm fine with it. But it is the fact that he doesn't, that the rules are not enforced both ways. And I think I agree with you. I think B-ball should be coming off the bench. I like that energy coming off the bench. I like him being like, this is your role when Embiid comes back. But I just don't, an issue with Nurse is that, and in all coaches, that they just have guys that for whatever reason, they don't like. Covington is the same way with Nurse.
Well, and Covington's been injured for two months.
When he wasn't injured. When he wasn't injured. It was the same thing. It was like, why is Marcus Morris playing so much more than Robert Covington? And it was just like, there's some guys that coaches just don't like. They don't like where they stand. They don't like what they do. They have expectations that you don't expect, whatever. And I'm worried, as I said on the last podcast, I think that Nurse is going to play Mo Bamba in a playoff game over B-ball Paul. And it's going to cost him because of his own little bias. And there's the like, oh, we don't, this guy does what I say. This guy doesn't. But at a certain point, like one player is just better. One player is just more helpful to winning. And B-ball is more helpful to winning the way he like just manages to steal you extra possessions across the board. I believe it. I believe
we'll
it strongly.
See.
I do think it was a good Buddy Hield game. It's great to see him like carry them for stretches.
I don't like watching him at all.
I mean, he had that deep three to take
was
the
great.
Lead.
Yep.
It was huge. It was off of a weird pass from Batum, a weird place on the court to make that pass. I thought it was great. I think he makes timely cuts all over the place. He had a nice cut to the foul line where he got a jumper out of it. I wrote, had those moments where he was the office. I think I probably meant offense when I wrote it. Yeah. But I like that he was the office.
He was the office.
He got a couple floorboards and some loose balls that spun into a layup. I thought he showed some actually really good fight in this one. I thought he defended Harden pretty well, got his hands on some balls. I thought he played really well. It was a good Buddy Hield game. It was nice to see him like in a game when the Sixers offense went through stretches of dead period, especially in the third quarter. He really carried him there.
When he hits shots, he's great. When he isn't, he's pretty brutal watch. I feel like, I feel like there's a lot of Tobias tendencies on offense with Buddy Hield.
But he was 3 of 7 from three, which is great. And I'm fine with, and he was 4 of 4 from two. Like
sure.
it was a good offensive Buddy Hield game, moving the ball.
I'm more of a process guy.
Sure. No, I agree with that. It's been very bad for a little bit. And this was, it's nice, even though he doesn't do a ton of things great. This was nice where it was like, oh, wow. Like this guy who's kind of been playing 14, 18 minutes or whatever is their offense right now. When Maxie was kind of getting locked up. There was one thing Maxie did. There was a Lowry hit a really nice drive, a big steps up, and he shuffled to Oubre cutting baseline. He got fouled. A few plays later, same exact thing with Maxie. Maxie drive, a big steps up, and a shuffle to Bamba cutting baseline for a layup. It was very nice. And I like the sort of, we know what you're going to do and we can react to it. I think that's why it's been so nice to see Oubre's development as a passer, which again, we should talk about the 6 assists. It did happen in front of us. He did break 5 assists. I think 6, you know how like after overtime at a job, like you start getting paid like time and a half. So
yeah.
Like any assist over 5 should count for Oubre for like 2.5, I think. So that's almost... As basically, and he had those 6 assists in the first half.
Feels
so
pretty arbitrary.
That's no, I don't think so. I think it's actually science. And it's just cool to see them like, you know, this team hasn't been together very long. And obviously, as I've said many times, they're not going to be good without Joel. every game they win is a miracle. They're stealing wins, all that stuff. But the team, like, as far as having how many guys have played each other for more than like half a season, it's Maxey and Tobias and B-ball. Nobody else has played with anybody else on the team for any stretch of time that's playing right now. And so they're still figuring it out. And so it was cool to see Oubre make a bunch of really nice passes tonight. He only had two assists, but I thought he passed really well. He had an extra pass for a Tobias three that went in. He raised the three ball hand for a Batum three that ended up missing, but he's now celebrating other people's threes. The Kelly Oubre assist, the passing evolution that we are in for my friend Kelly is doing great. He had a lot from Maxey. That was sick. It's good. It was also after Oubre got hurt in the game we were at, and he missed a game in Sacramento. It could have been the like, is this going to be the long absence, the sneaky long, he's missed five games here. Is he ever going to come back thing? So it was nice to see him back.
Well, what was I going to say about Oubre? I had one more thing. Oh, the Sacramento game didn't happen anyway. So
can I be completely honest with you?
Yeah.
I didn't watch it.
Oh.
I didn't watch it. I was like, I'll watch it later. And I saw they lost by so much. And then I was watching a ton of basketball. We went to the USC women's game, which was sick. And I was like, you know what? I'm not going to do it. What's the point?
Yeah. Well, I did that with the Suns game. So
yeah.
I woke up. I saw the box score of the Suns
game. Yeah, sometimes you got to be like, you know what? This is the regular season. I'm not doing it. We don't have a podcast. It never happened.
It never happened. All right, a few things that happened before the game. One, some updates on injured players. This, thanks to our own Dan Ollinger, which came from Nick Nurse. Cove is progressing a little bit. Looks like he could return here at some point. Melt is not as close yet. Ugh. He's still on a pain tolerance thing. We're hopeful that both of them will be back before this regular season ends.
Shit.
Doesn't sound great for either of them, to be quite honest with you.
Covington, it feels like us. Yeah. Any minute.
And then here was Nick Nurse, CJ, if you could play the clip of Nurse on Joel Embiid in the rundown. It's highlighted. There you go.
I haven't met with him. I have talked with him, FaceTimed with him a couple times, but I haven't met with him yet. No. He's on the court, as you guys know, and we still don't have a timeline for his return.
So there hasn't been any, as far as you know, any progression beyond where things were before you left from a workout standpoint?
I would imagine he's getting better, Tim, yeah, each day. So he's just trying to get him strong and confident and in shape and ramped up and all those wonderful words.
What do you think is the likelihood that he returns before whatever you participate in after the regular season?
I think there's a very good likelihood that he will return before the play-in, playoff. He's out there working, right? He's out there working. He's doing lots of skill work and things like that, and just trying to continue to advance all that stuff.
But it's not no scrimmaging or anything like that with low-minute guys, or G League guys or anything like that?
Yeah, he's on the court, so we'll let you know when we get to those stages.
There we go. There's your update. Thank you, Keith.
Coming.
It's coming.
It's coming. And then will be really finally, nice. I hadn't realized how many games that he has missed in a row. I think it was 27?
Something like that.
Melton said on the Clippers broadcast I was watching. But
Melton's played more games than Embiid this year, which is crazy
is
to think
true?
About. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And then finally, just a quick peek. Now, I guess it wasn't on League Pass because it was on ESPN. I didn't get to see the arena feed, but I need to know from anybody who was there whether they show tribute videos for James Harden and PJ Tucker. Like, I didn't see anything. They didn't mention anything. I need to know. They booed Harden every time. PJ Tucker, by the way, wore a Phillies hat and a Phillies chain to the arena tonight. Said he loved the fans
as
well.
You like pandering now.
What's that?
How about you like pandering now, Spike?
I love PJ Tucker
pandering. Mr. Pandering.
Yeah. But I also think PJ Tucker did like it here. That is my position.
You don't think Bryce Harper does?
I do have a pair of PJ Tucker's autographed sneakers that I got from the Sixer Charities auction in my closet with the most random collectible I have. So And then one more quick Harden thing we'll get to right after I tell you about Briggs Auction, the official auction of the process at BriggsAuction.com. Bunch of auctions coming up next couple of weeks. First of all, the Playboy Collection auction is next week, including Playboy issue number one with Marilyn Monroe on it that I saw when I went to Briggs Auction. But there's an auction going on right now through Friday, CJ's Briggs Auction item of the week.
Yeah, so keeping the theme of public transportation, as we were just in LA and we had a train in the background for that pod.
I was like, what? Since when are we doing a public transportation?
Also, the emphasis on how bad the driving is in LA and how bad the traffic is.
Yeah.
I found this map of the main line. It's a it's a hand-drawn map from 1942.
Wow.
And there is just a load of information written in on here. Little references, people, battles, stuff that's happened over the years all across this map. Something that you see and you could stand in front of for probably 20 minutes.
That's just sick. How much is that up to?
It's going right now for 45 and there's a day and a half left. So
I might bid on that.
That is sick.
That's fucking cool, man. That's what you find at Briggs Auctions. There's also professionally graded video games. People love bidding on those fucking things. That's right there. BriggsAuction.com and the one that's happening this week. Go, first of all, download the app, App Store or Google Play. Check in every week. Online bidding in auctions is fun. Briggs Auction, you're going to find collectibles. You're going to find art. You're going to find vehicles. You're going to find furniture. Antique classic furniture you're not going to find anywhere else. Clothes. I have a bunch of sneakers I got from Briggs Auction that are all awesome. Go to BriggsAuction.com, check in or download the app. And if you need to offload stuff, you got a bunch of stuff you think is worth a lot, no better place to go than Briggs Auction, the best auction house in the area, in Delco. That's where Briggs Auction is. Send an email to info@BriggsAuction.com. By the way, if you win a lot, very easy to pick up. Open pickup is on Saturdays. When I went, I saw three Ricky people there on Saturdays, or they can schedule time during the week or work with you on a shipper. Briggs Auction, the official auction of the process. One final James Harden thing.
Sorry.
Yeah.
It's nothing against CJ, against my precious, sweet CJ. Traffic in LA being bad is a little bit of a, it's not as bad as people say anymore.
Yes. Oh, come on.
It's not.
I don't know what it was at a certain point, but
yeah.
Coming from my lifestyle where I can walk and
bike
wherever I need to go, it was a big adjustment being
of course. And you have to drive and thus there's traffic. But as far as like, oh, you're always sitting in traffic,
compared to 10 years ago, it's probably
don't actually believe that's the case anymore.
Yeah.
And like there's that in Philly too. Like Dave Reuter always texts me, he's been sitting on 76 for fucking 16 straight hours.
Yes. I think the thing from my trips to LA, which have been a number of them because my brother lives there, the thing about LA traffic is that when I was there, it seemed unpredictable in that there was more traffic incidents at like 8:30 at night than you would find in Philadelphia. That was my big
frustration. And even way later, I'd be driving home when I worked at Hell My Mother and I had to like drive scripts around town. There'd be like a random traffic jam at like 3 a.m. on the 405.
Yeah, that was
like,
that
how
was,
is this? How is this possible?
My particular.
But it's usually because that's when they're doing like work and stuff. But so, yeah, I just say it's not as bad anymore.
Last thing on James Harden, he didn't get any tributes. We saw somebody said in the chat, who was it? CJ, who said in the chat? I missed it. Whoever it was up on the screen. But no PJ Tucker tribute, no James Harden tribute. But James Harden is doing a tribute to Michael Rubin with his new shoe. Mike, please take a look. Here it is, James Harden new shoe. The Harden Volume 8 White Party is inspired by Michael Rubin's iconic Hamptons parties.
Oh my God.
There's James Harden and Tom Brady.
God.
There's the shoe. The White Party inspired
That's
by
gray.
A party.
That's gray there. Inspired by a white party.
Dude,
the idea that
sucks.
Go. It's just like, it just sucks.
That sucks so bad.
It sucks bad.
It
hey,
just,
Michael Rubin, this guy has a party every year where he makes everyone wear white.
And we're going to
other it. People have had
yep.
for years.
Years.
Obviously, fucking Diddy. Obviously, Kyle Richards. Obviously, so many other people that I'm sure have also had it. It's not, he didn't invent the idea of
a white party.
And you're going to go like, I'm going to make him a shoe.
I'm going to make him a shoe where the colorway is fucking white because that guy is white and he has a white party. Great. Sick, man. It's fucking, it sucks so bad.
It does. It just sucks
so bad. He invites other rich celebrities there and gets to just like sort of mooch off their clout. It sucks so bad. And he runs the worst company in the world.
Well,
I think I'll say it. The lowest approval company in the world.
I'm not commenting on the company.
It must be. Fucking oil companies have better goddamn approval than Fanatics at this point. Ridiculous. That guy blows. Blows! Stop doing shoes after him. He doesn't need it. Do shoes after anybody else. Pick any kid from third grade anywhere and say, what's your favorite color? And then be like, this is the fucking Janie shoe color. It's the Janie shoe because she said it. Anything but that.
What other parties could you name shoes after? Halloween party?
Oh my God.
Orange and brown one or something? What other parties? Bris?
It's a Bris party. It's a little red.
The hard nine Bris.
A little
red,
a little yellow, and a little skin tone, whichever skin tone you want. A little red, couple flecks of red. From a Bris party. Because sometimes it bleeds.
Sometimes it bleeds.
The hard
when you cut off a when you cut the foreskin off a Jewish baby's penis. Sometimes a little blood comes out. I held my nephew who just got bar mitzvahed Ethan. I held him during his Bris. A little bit of blood. Now you're a man, Ethan. You can know that. I held you and you bled when they trimmed the tippy top
of your penis. Of your
baby penis. So that's the shoe. That's the colorway I'm going to get. That's my pitch. Tell Stateside, or not Stateside. That'd be funny too. tell Kinetic.
Yeah, I was going to say, who are we telling?
Tell Kinetic to do a shoe, a Bris colored shoe.
Oh my God.
Michael Rubin, ridiculous. Worst company in the world.
CJ was talking about LA. Thanks everybody for Fly the Process. It was awesome. We had a great time at Fly the Process. Thank you to fans of Philly, of course. We did get to see the 5-assist game in person.
How fucking sick is that, dude?
It was incredible.
Let's not be cynical for a second. That shit is magical.
Everyone knew. Everyone
in all of our sections kept looking at me. We were counting each time it happened. That's four.
The crowd went nuts.
It was awesome.
Nuts. Thanks to Amos, Matt Quinn, Marion Hill, and Matt Quinn of Mount Joy for stopping by as well. Thank you to everyone who went. It was a really great time. Thanks to Daryl and Kate and Lauren, Kate Scott, Lauren Rosen, who stopped by the Mike Bar on Saturday. And
shout out Rocco's, which was a great time. Daryl Morey did come and watch some games with us if you came to that. Kate Scott, who was wearing, of course, the only shirt that she wears around Ricky People, which is the Say the Name shirt.
Say the Name shirt, yeah.
And Lauren Rosen, who was great. All of them were great. It was very cool of them to stop by. And Kate was really walking around hugging, kissing babies, taking names, all this
stuff. She was good at that.
The crowd.
And Daryl, I give credit to Daryl, lets all of our people just be like, so why the fuck did you do this?
Immediately, so you gotta sign this guy? Immediately an Isaiah Joe accusation. Immediately. And Daryl and Lauren kept turning around and was like, Daryl, like, take it down. Relax. And Daryl was like, no, I'll tell you why I had to cut him. It was very fun.
So thanks to my good friend Dumman, who sent me the recording of the Clippers broadcast. So we went through just to hear if you could hear us. So which one do you have up here first, CJ?
First one is B-Ball Paul.
B-Ball, this. And so here we go, a B-Ball Paul chant. This is what it sounded like on TV. It's pretty fucking loud. It was like pretty fucking loud. It sounded like a college basketball game. And then here is cool.
The fact that it's always so high up. It happened with the Minnesota Fly the Process also, when you're so high up doing those kinds of unexpected chants where everyone's turning around kind of like confused, looking up.
Yeah.
There's something really nice about it.
And then I think my favorite chant of all time, Red Blend. Here we go.
I would have loved one look of recognition.
Yes.
Just one little, like,
maybe a toast.
Just a little something. I would have really liked that.
And then associated to fly the process.
Crazy win, by the way. Crazy that they won.
Incredible win.
Crazy that it was that B-ball Paul made that pass and transitioned to Tobias.
Yep. Crazy that we had the six assist game.
Maxie played well. It was just a really wonderful. That was, I think, the second win of Fly the Process ever.
Third. We are now 3-4.
Reject it. Yeah. That's not bad. Feels worse.
Yeah, it does feel worse. We won Minnesota, San Antonio, and now this one. Lost.
I'm 2-0 in Fly the Process.
Wow. So, yeah, because you went to Minnesota.
Yeah.
Brooklyn, Washington, Milwaukee.
Indiana
are the losses. Yeah. And then associated with Fly the Process, and then we'll wrap this up, is we have three bannings. I am announcing bannings. Of course, we let each other ban, though I suppose you could object. First of all,
I don't object. This is fun.
Okay. First, we ban the Associated Press, all of them. Here is the writing from the Associated Press article, Game Story. Harden had 12 points and 14 assists in his first game against the 76ers since he forced his way out of Philadelphia last November after going 0-for-6 on three-pointers to jeers from a, quote, small but vocal cheering section of Sixers fans in Los Angeles. First of all,
small but vocal is like four drunk guys.
Yeah, it was not a small group. It was over four sections. It was over 300 people. It wasn't small. Let me ask you this, Associated Press. How many times do you go to NBA games that you see that many opposing fans in one spot? Do you know what I mean? Like if you go to a Sixers Celtics game, of course there will be a lot of Celtics fans there, but never concentrated like that. And you didn't say the name. The Associated Press is banned.
Banned.
Joe Vardon of The Athletic. Harden. Wow. Harden, who scored 12 points with 14 assists in the lopsided loss to the Sixers, dressed and left the locker room so fast on Sunday that coach Tyronn Lue hadn't even addressed the media yet. Harden's skirting of post-game media duties is a violation of league policy. He will have more questions and way more boos and jeers than he heard Sunday from the smattering of Sixers fans who spent the weekend in LA.
Smattering.
And we know he's talking about us because it says spent the weekend in LA. That's obviously us.
Smattering.
Vocal. And finally, we have to ban the Inquirer's Gina Mizell. Sorry, Gina, have never met you before, but you are banned. 4 days later, some befuddled Sixers teammates on the bench looked up into the Crypto.com arena stands. A large group of fans near the top of the first concourse were chanting B-ball Paul.
So three very real Sixers fans gathered situations.
Yep.
And it's just like, it's just like bad journalism.
Yes.
To not say what happened.
We're part of the story in this one. I'm sorry. We are. If you're going to mention the fans, you got to mention who brought them there.
It feels interesting that 11 years in, and we've sort of gone away, or at least I have gone away from too much say the name stuff, but this is a real, they are trying not to say the name.
Yep.
11 years into the podcast.
Yep.
After we have rung the bell.
Look, there was only one Sixers podcast trip to Los Angeles, as far as I can tell.
There was supposed to be two and ended up being one.
Hmm.
And it's just very bizarre to not be like, and here's the name of it. Here's the name of the people that did it. It just feels very bizarre. Like a guard scored and then a forward would rebound and a couple Sixers were on the bench. Like just what's going on? Bizarre. So I approve your bannings.
CJ puts in the notes before we get to our next section. James Harden says he doesn't know it. Is this the actual video here, CJ, and the John Clark tweet?
No, it's just a photo with the quote.
Okay. James Harden says he doesn't know why Sixers fans were booing him. He says he believes the fans don't even know why they were booing him. I asked him if he will ever patch things up with Daryl Morey, and he said no.
Who is I, CJ? Whose quote is that?
John Clark.
Oh, it's John Clark. Okay.
Yeah.
That's funny.
He doesn't know why they were booing him.
They don't even know why.
They don't even know why.
Who could know? Who could say?
Yeah. They don't have any idea.
No.
All right. So all y'all are banned. So there you go. The Rights to Ricky Sanchez podcast is brought to you by Big Barker Therapeutic Dog Beds. Mike, You might remember Nick from Atlanta, whose brother's house I did a podcast at when I was in Atlanta for the opener. Nick from Atlanta has purchased a big barker for his two dogs right there on the screen. There you go, Marlo and Tika.
Very nice.
Very beautiful dogs. Two pitties, it looks like. Love pit bulls. And of course, Rebel sleeps on Big Barker. And he's 10 years old, just had a checkup, joints in great shape. Of course, our foster, Banshee, also sleeping on our extra Big Barker. She loves it as well, though she does love sneaking in the bed after she has to pee at around 2 a.m. But she's a dog, gotta let her do it. You love your dog. Your job as a dog owner is to give your dog the best life possible. Their lives are not long. Their lives have to be awesome. So you have to give them, you have to take them for lots of walks. You have to, you know, scratch their ears, scratch their belly when you want them to, and you got to keep them healthy. And one of the ways you keep them healthy is to get them a Big Barker therapeutic dog bed. Go to bigbarker.com/Ricky. That is bigbarker.com/Ricky. You get the Big Barker dog bed with the processed pup patches. And here's the best part. Your dog stays healthier. Big Barker is the only dog bed engineered by experts to support your dog's joints. The other ones don't do the job. This one does. Been proven by Penn Vet. Did a study, improvement in joint function, reduction in pain severity, reduction in joint stiffness. How about this? They look fucking great too. Come in all different sizes, all different colors, with the headrest, without a headrest, maybe the couch style one. Go to bigbarker.com/Ricky. Excuse me. It's got a 10-year warranty. The foam doesn't flatten, and they replace it for free. A 1-year at-home trial. If for any reason you and your dog, you don't like it, they will give you a refund and they'll even pay for the shipping. It's handmade in the USA. Big Barker dog beds.
Woof.
So there was another JJ Redick and LeBron James podcast. Before we get into a couple of clips I wanted to play you, I wanted to read you this email from Andrew and see what you thought. The subject line is Spike Must Face the Truth. Dear Spike, Mike, and CJ, my wife and I are huge fans of the pod. I've been a listener since the beginning, so I feel entitled, excuse me, to the take I'm about to give. I think Spike hates JJ so much because they are incredibly similar. Both are very particular, articulate, manage their own podcasts with their loyal sidekicks, enjoy having conversations with men in the bathroom, have full arm sleeves, and are adamant about their takes even when they know they're wrong.
Sidekick.
Yeah, I know. I knew you were going to like that part. I say all of this not to shame you, but because I'm a huge fan and I think it's time for you to face the truth. What do you think? Do you think that's why I hate JJ Redick?
No, I don't.
Thank you. It isn't. I appreciate you doing that. You're not my sidekick. I never thought you were. So
damn, fuck, me saying no, I don't is this real sidekick move. God damn it. Set up. I was totally set up.
So before we get into a couple of different... from Keith Pompey. In post-game video review, the officials determined that a foul should have been called on Paul George in the closing second.
Yeah, I mean, it's just insane.
You're a bitch, you're a bitch, you're a bitch. Yeah. Your mom's a bitch, your dad's a bitch.
Well, that is the game. That is the game. And to not be able to review that in the like final moment of the game, because it's like, well, a whistle wasn't blown. It's like, well, a big fucking horn was.
Yeah.
Did you guys hear that big loud horn? The game's over if you just walk away. Or you can say like, hey, actually, let me check. Oh yeah, there's a foul. That's just insane that you're like, oh, my hands are tied. Like the fucking cops are so stupid. Fucking dumbass. Oh. Bad.
So before I play a couple of clips here, I want you to watch the trailer that was on Twitter for Mind the Game episode 2.
You're 84 too?
I'm 84, yes, sir.
Yeah, we got bad vintages for
Yeah, always one of the worst. Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Have you spent any time with Mark Daniel, by the way?
No.
Bro, he's ridiculous.
Oh, look
he's
at that
so
wine.
Good. No, he's so good. Yeah, he's on his shit.
How many bottles we got? Only one.
He's young too. Is he younger than us?
Yeah, I think he's an 85. Okay. I looked it up the other day. He's definitely younger than us.
Smidge? Yeah. Like that? Yeah. Alright. Cool. Where are you rolling so you guys can just go out?
Oh, two we're already rolling. Oh, I guess this is what we do. This is what we do.
Does it have to be so sexy?
So yeah, well, because they have sex at the end of it. You haven't listened to the whole thing.
They did 84 was such bad vintages. Oh my god, remember 84 bad vintages? It's like I honestly think they both want to go like I don't want to even be known as basketball players. I want to be known as wine
guys.
I want the people, when they think about me, LeBron James, I want them to think wine. JJ Redick, wine. These guys know what they're talking about wine. Why is that so cool? I don't understand it. It's such a rich guy thing. I don't understand it.
So this episode was the hardest action to guard in basketball, I think. So this one.
This shit I'm going to like. You know I'm going to like this stuff.
Well, so here's the thing. It's so boring. So the first 15 minutes, I don't know who this podcast is for. Because
me.
The first 15 minutes is JJ Redick alone explaining very basic basketball things like you're a moron. And then it's him and LeBron James incessantly breaking down plays so they can seem like they really know ball. They do know ball, but it's not entertaining. There's nothing entertaining about you. If you were so entertained by it, you would have watched one of the two.
That might be true. Okay. That's a fair point.
Okay. All right. So a couple of things. First,
I'll get to it.
Here's a good quote from LeBron.
Are you able to do that on a nightly basis, though? Like, take that matchup. It's asking a lot, LeBron.
At 39, with I think I saw it the other day. I think I have like 70,000 minutes. I was explaining to my wife the other day. She asked me, how am I feeling when I came home after a game? I said, babe, just imagine buying a 2003 Escalade and it's 2024 and you never change the tires. So rub my feet, please. And I've never changed the tires. These are the same tires from 2003.
Mike?
I mean, yes, that is funny. Yes, that is true. It's funny that he called himself an Escalade. It's probably an appropriate car for LeBron James. It's funny when JJ says LeBron. Like, it's funny that he's just talking to LeBron. Like, that is, it's such a casual to say. But like, well, LeBron, is that hard? It's such a Doc Rivers quote.
Yeah, it is. An unnecessary metaphor, by the way.
An unnecessary metaphor. All of them, JJ, LeBron, Doc, they just love an unnecessary metaphor. Don't need it.
So this is...
I could tell that you were tired.
Yeah, yes.
You've been playing a lot of basketball. You don't have to say, like, what's another example of something that would be tired?
Yeah, he's 40. He's been playing basketball for 20 years. Yeah. Babe, how are you feeling? I'm tired. Imagine an Escalade. Okay. So this is, I think, my favorite quote of the last two. Now,
and again, I want to say, you don't like either of them, really. I do like them both. Yeah, I like them both and feel like I can make fun of them in a right way. I feel like I like them both.
Yeah.
And I'm holding them to account.
Yes.
But you're probably right. I'm not going to listen. Yeah, but I could. Come on. And I would enjoy it, some of it.
Yeah. So this
is
hard
to add to a podcast rotation. And it's hard to cut from a podcast rotation. Half the fucking listeners of us are probably like, I'm in too deep with these guys.
Yes, I can't stop now. I need to find out what happens at the end. Yeah. We're like the lost of podcasts.
Yes, that's it.
Great show.
Shout out Tanner.
I love this quote from LeBron. Now, we mentioned when we talked about the last one, LeBron, as everyone knows, famous liar, lies about a lot of things. I did send you the clips of him lying about reading the Malcolm X book and watching The Godfather, two of my favorites. My favorite about this thing is that he catches himself lying because he is obviously aware that everyone has caught on to him lying. So please, please enjoy this. It's one of my favorites.
Just like, AR, let's go win it for us. You know, and I want to see, like, I play a lot of chess, not in real life. I've actually, you know, a lot of people have told me you should play chess because you'll be great. I've never played chess, but in my mind, in theory, I feel like I play chess on the floor.
Yeah.
So that's definitely what happened. He said, I play a lot of chess, and he got nervous that JJ was about to call him on it and ask him something about chess, and he would have been fucked.
What's your favorite chess move? All of them? That's really funny. That's great. He did catch himself, and good for him catching himself.
Yes,
but he was going to lie.
For sure. 100%.
I play a lot of chess. Actually,
I don't play any. I never play any chess. Never heard of it.
Yeah.
What's chess? Why would you bring up chess?
And then this is just a call we got to 833 Lickface. It's just the call itself is very funny to me about this.
Hey, Spike, Mike, Daryl, maybe if he's around, CJ, howdy. I was showing my girlfriend the very funny, humorous part about you guys roasting the LeBron, JJ Redick podcast. But I have to come defend LeBron. You want to know why? The whole thing about the history. JJ Redick did ask him outside of talent, skill set, and size what makes a good basketball player. And I did not catch that. I only caught it on second watch thanks to my girlfriend.
I pointed it out.
Love the pod. Hope this isn't too long of a message.
I think you guys should correct that in your next episode. Thank you.
Love the pod. Bye.
That's fair. I didn't hear it. That's totally fair.
And then last thing.
I like a girlfriend in the background.
Yes. Well, funny. Speaking of girlfriends, there's a wife mention in the email about me being compared to JJ. He gives us a jigsaw, which I'll give you right after this, but he signs it. Thanks for keeping our lives interesting. P.S. I am still trying to convince my wife to have sex while listening to the pod.
No. I can't imagine a less sexy thing.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds horrible, actually.
To maybe LeBron and JJ's pod would be a great pod to have sex to.
Yes, well, they're having sex. Like porn.
They're having sex. It's very smooth. So I wonder if JJ, if Harden is going to call the Michael Rubin shoes a literal shoe. My life is a literal shoe.
A literal shoe. So we got this email from Max, and man, if it didn't hit real hard because I hadn't thought of it. And I wonder if you've thought of this. Hello, Spike, Mike, CJ, and Daryl. After yesterday's Clippers game, it was reported that James Harden left the locker room early before Ty Lue even got back. The Clippers have been mid for the past month or so and will almost certainly flame out in the playoffs this year. During the game yesterday, Harden and Maxey looked like best friends. Maxey has called Harden a great mentor, and Harden also seemed to love our young prince.
Yeah, they love each other.
And by all accounts, seems like Harden and Joel got along well during their time here.
Yeah.
With all this said, are you, both of you mentally prepared for Harden to return to the Sixers after we strike out on others in free agency? We know Daryl never wanted him to leave, and it was Harden who forced his hand. So if he comes back to Daryl and says all is forgiven, do we believe he has the willpower to say no? This would obviously be a disaster outcome for the Sixers, but it would be funny to see Spike's mental breakdown on the pod when the news hit.
I don't think that's going to, I do think that Harden is going to hold the grudge for a really, really long time.
You do?
Yeah.
What if nobody offers him money?
I think
the Sixers do.
I think the Clippers will.
Really?
I think the Clippers are more likely to offer Harden money than Paul George.
That seems crazy. He looks pretty washed, man.
Who?
Harden.
Paul George doesn't look great.
Yeah.
Dan Ellinger made that point. He's been pretty bad for a few months. I didn't think he was great tonight. Eventually a few threes fell and he ended up going 5 of 8 from deep, but he was 2 of 10 on twos. Defense looks a little bit slipping, gets blocked by Mo Bamba on a dunk attempt. I do think he's getting old. He's getting older, 34, which is also my age. And I feel great. But I do think even if Paul,
what's your shoe going to be called?
Let me think about it.
Okay.
It's the Brist shoe.
Yeah. But, well, Harden's already doing the Brist shoe.
He's going to do it.
Yeah. That's what I was saying. The Harden 9 Brist. The Mike 1 Shiva.
The Shivas. That'd be good. That'd be on theme. All black everything with a bagel on the side. Just locks. Locks all over it. I do think Daryl, even if Paul plays at this level the rest of the season, I do think Daryl would say, like, come to me. 4-year max. All of it.
Non-basketball question. What is the worst movie theater experience you've ever had? I saw Dune 2 recently and a couple in front of me brought a 1-year-old to it. That went about as poorly as you would expect with the baby crying and them getting up to calm him in the hallway every few minutes. Thankfully, they left after a half hour.
That's tough. You've had a lot of bad movie theater experiences with people texting or talking too much. I really haven't. I got cheated on at the movies in 8th grade. So that's
right.
It for me.
Yes.
Which I've told on the podcast.
Yes. An incredible story. Yeah. I think people in Los Angeles, from my memory, are more respectful in movie theaters than they are in my area.
Yeah, for sure.
So And that we have, there's one Alamo Draft House like in Manhattan, but it's annoying to get to, whatever. I wish there was one in Philly. I wish there was one in the Jersey suburbs. There is not. I hate texting, so it drives me crazy. I think the worst experience was I was in college and there were two guys in there who brought bottles of liquor and were smoking in the theater. Wow. It was the first time I had ever seen that. At least they were going like full on, I felt like. So,
Alyssa one time brought, they needed to, you know, you're really hungry before a theater. So the WGA has a theater. And I think at this time they didn't have, we were too late for the snacks beforehand or something. So there was nothing there.
Okay.
And Alyssa was, it was me, Alyssa, and her mom. We brought her mom as a guest, to see a Coen Brothers movie. And they just like ran across the street and we're like, the first thing they saw was like, like a bag of deli ham. And so she just brought just raw, not raw, but like uncooked, you know, deli ham into the Writers Guild Theater. And it just really smelled very, very bad. I'm sure that was somebody else's worst theater experience, but you need some food. You got to get something. Sometimes you need it. Can't sit through a whole Coen Brothers movie. Fucking hungry. Need some
no
ham.
Raw onions, I hope, right? Just the ham.
Just ham. Straight up okay. Ham.
And honey ham. This from 833 Lickface for you, Mike, specifically.
Mike, this is a question for you. Please describe why Mr. Edey of Purdue will not translate to the NBA and why he won't win the tournament. Love the guy. Seems like a great dude, I think. I don't know. Maybe there's a controversy. I don't know about it. But, yeah, he's a bum. Anyway, non-basketball question. Best fruit apples to me are just by far the best, but you know, whatever. Bye.
I like Zach Edey. Fun guy to watch at the college level. 7'5", I think, big man. Four or five. Big man out of Purdue. Has really, really nice touch. I think he shoots in the, let me see, what's he shoot from the line? I think he shoots like 80% from the line. And yeah, 7'4". He's Canadian. He shoots 71% from the line this year, 73% last year. Gets the line a ton. They're physical as hell with him. And he gets the line 11 times a game, which is in college is insane. And he's a pretty good shot blocker at the rim. He's just not mobile. So I think he's going to struggle defending in space. Mm. But he is so good at the things he's so good at that you could conceivably see him being like a, maybe like Boban, but if Boban could play, was a little bit better of a rim protector. That's the weird thing about Boban is he's not good blocking shots. I don't think Edey is going to be, he's not going to be Wembanyama or anything. He's not going to be a great, great rim protector, but good enough to make it as like a, you know, curveball backup five kind of thing. I think maybe in a certain situation he could play a little bit more, but it's just hard to be in today's NBA and not be able to guard on the perimeter. Unless you find a coach that's willing to go like, all right, we play a 2-3 zone and you're just back there all the time, which I think is hard to play all the time of. But I think I'm excited to see it because he is very good and has really, really nice touch on the offensive end and his you know, advanced stats are crazy on the offensive end.
I've never seen him. The 2-3 zone thing always was a Syracuse thing to me. It was always like a Boeheim thing, you know, can't trust any.
But he never had... He didn't have like such a huge guy back there. He usually had like Jeremy Grant type athletes to like block you from the weak side to come back. Because once you get on that low baseline, you need that guy to come back and block that shot the way Batum kind of always does. And I think Purdue definitely has a chance in the tournament. They you know, they were unathletic. They got that last year. That's why they lost as a 16 seed. And they got Lance Jones and they got their power forward, Trey Kaufman, I think his name is. And Mason Gillis is more athletic. Like they have some of those guys, but if they hit shots, they'll have a shot. But I still think that if they could find a team that runs them up and down the court and just has athletes, I do think that there's a chance that they struggle again. But Sweet 16, baby, we're here.
Sweet 16. You enjoying the tournament so far?
I'm like loving it, dude. The men's tournament kicks ass. The women's tournament kicks ass. The Stanford. Why am I forgetting who Stanford just beat? Iowa State, the Stanford Iowa State women's game was amazing. Incredible game. It's just been a great tournament across the board. We went to USC, Kansas women's, was it last night, 2 nights ago?
Was it at USC?
16. Yeah. And we had great seats. It was only $30. It was awesome. I had a blast. I love the tournament, man. I sat in front of Rodney Peete. Didn't realize until right after.
Wow.
I turned around and I was like, that's Rodney Peete.
Wow.
And Holly Robinson Pete sitting right by
Wow.
me. As we were walking out, it was a really fun game. Juju Watkins.
Rodney Pete won that one playoff game.
Yeah. Yeah.
I fell asleep during it. I woke up. I saw the score. I was like, what the fuck is going on here? That's what I remember about that.
I am loving the tournament. Best fruit?
I have two answers.
I like a mango.
Oh, wow.
I like a good peach.
Mm-hmm.
And when I went to Hawaii a few months ago, I had just a tremendous kiwi. And I think in the right place, in the right mindset, kiwi is very good.
So I eat an apple every single day. I love apples.
What kind?
I'm a green apple guy. Now, sometimes
after elementary school days for me,
I like sour stuff. Now, sometimes I'll get like sick of the green apple and I'll go to like a Honey Crisp for a week or two.
Sure.
But I think the best tasting fruit is a strawberry. I love a great strawberry.
Any of those like little finger fruits, little two berries.
Yeah.
It's not enough to really, those don't, they like don't almost count.
Yeah.
Put them on like a waffle or a pancake, then we can talk. But like, if you have to have like 18 of them to really feel something.
Yeah.
I need more.
We will talk to you Saturday morning.
We didn't talk enough about the flight process, game? Honestly. Every time I went to the bathroom, I went in either at Rocco's or at the Clippers game or at the bar beforehand. I was like, I'm not peeing in the urinal. I'm not having anybody.
Oh, you didn't want to have to talk to a Ricky guy.
I did it once at the Clippers. Was it the Clippers game? And I'm peeing. I'm like, just like focus on myself, whatever. And all of a sudden the guy next to me goes, how you doing? And I was like, oh no. And I turned and it was my brother. So luckily, I was like, oh fuck. Oh shit. Okay. Here it is. Let's just do it. Let's just fucking swords. Let's just do swords. But luckily it didn't happen.
By the way, I fucking love everybody.
That was great. Everybody's so nice.
Yeah.
My parents had a great time. My nephew had a great time.
Joe from Fans of Philly always says, like, I think he likes our trips because our people are so polite generally. Yeah. Oh, and thanks to the Audiograph Beer Company in LA too for hosting us.
I didn't realize that that was a Ricky listener that reached out. It wasn't just a backup plan. That's cool.
Yeah, it was Ricky listener. Hit us up on the Ricky Reddit. It was great. It was truly great. And it was so cool to see so many people who live in California who listened to the pod and
ton of people
and got to do it. Yeah, it was really cool.
Ton of people. I will say at Tom's before the game, you guys had the DJ, and I went, and the audio wasn't playing of the Colorado Marquette game. And I went to Joe. I was like, "Can we turn the audio of the game on?" He's like, "Well, we paid the DJ," and I was like, "Okay."
The DJ was cool too.
I was like, "I'm gonna suck it up."
Yeah.
And I sucked it up.
You did. DJ was from Philly too. Good guy.
Yeah, nice guy. No, look, nothing against him or anything. I just, you know.
Like here in the game.
It's a tournament, you know?
Yeah. I did like that we were in the Clippers home arena, in the big bar that is attached to the Clippers home arena.
Yeah, right across the street, yeah.
Right across the street. And the Clippers fans were not allowed in because there was a private party on a game day.
Yeah. It was great. We got a picture really with the Kobe statue, but we got it on the side. So it was really Kobe's hip.
Yes.
In honor of your hip surgery.
Yes. And we did Amos shot video of everyone chanting B-ball Paul at the Kobe statue, which is one of the greatest.
Oh yeah. Amos and Mountjoy was there.
Yep. Marion Hill was there.
Oh yeah. Marion Hill met them. That was great.
Yeah.
A bunch of good folks. It was always very nice. People of all ages.
Yep.
Coming from all over. It was sick. I met so many good people and thank everybody for coming and being cool and making it easy to chat.
Thanks to Ella for making me a Ricky Council IV tattoo.
Yes, I gave it to my nephew, who's a big Ricky Council guy.
Yeah.
It was sick. Everybody was really sweet.
All right.
Some kid in the bathroom told me the best ability is availability. Somebody's kid. I was like, fuck you, kid. Let me get out of the bathroom. Don't be saying catchphrases I don't like.
Can't be doing swords with a kid.
No. Yeah. It was not at the urinal. He was blocking the exit.
Okay.
And I was like, fuck it, kid.
All right.
It was nice. Thank you, everybody.
Thanks, everybody. Should've we'll talk to you this weekend.
Right.
Are you done with TTP?
Yeah. You know, lick face.
If you don't fuck with me, then I won't fuck with you. if you don't fuck with me.
Then I will, I won't fuck with you.
But if you fuck with me,
I'm gonna fucking kill you!
Time for plan B.